This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening is the Take Command Instant Reaction Show. Craig Hoffman, Logan Paulson. They won, Logan.
They did win.
And the losing streak is over.
That's good.
That is very, very good. They won, and they won decisively. They won 42-19 behind a massive first half. I will say, I'm not trying to poo-poo what the Commanders did, because if the other team gives you opportunity, all you can do is take advantage of it. And boy, did they take advantage of a bad Tennessee Titans first half. At one point, they fumbled two consecutive touches inside their own 20-yard line. Commanders turned those into touchdowns. They had just incredibly ill-timed penalties. Commanders take those drives, convert them into touchdowns. But I think you see like the difference in, say, the Dallas game and not taking advantage of the great field position. So to me, it's just a sentiment to how this team was able to bounce back, find who they were earlier in the season where they were, you know, all of a sudden in that contender tier of teams. And what a performance they put on today.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Dallas game, because I think that's the game that I look and compare this to in my mind. Because, like, this is how the Dallas game should have went, right? Dallas should have, you know, missed the field goal. We should have gone out and scored. We should have got the block punt. Should have gone out and scored. And that's not what happened. And so to see them, again, be so aggressive, like the first possession we've got, again, I love how Cliff came out, and they've been very run-heavy on first down. We've got a couple quick game passes. I love how Terry makes a nice play for Jaden, who's kind of settling in as a passer on the first play. Great job. Get that explosive run by B-Rob for a touchdown. Awesome. Like, that's exactly what you want. Then you capitalize on the mistakes that they make. And, again, to see them not just settle for field goals, but actually actively go down and score with well-designed touchdown-type plays is fantastic. And I think that is what, again, I'm going to use the word urgency probably because it's prescient in my mind because of all the press conference stuff, but they were just offensively anyway, so much more urgent. And that was really nice to see. And it was something like last week that felt a little sluggish, felt a little bit labored, and there was none of that. And this felt like the team that we were used to watching from earlier in the year.
Yeah. And that includes, by the way, Brian Robinson, just an incredible, really first half. And then they were able to kind of shut him down in the second. Yeah. And then Chris Rodriguez comes in and dang near has 100 yards in the second half. Yeah. He finished with 90-something.
Crazy. In like a pseudo four-minute situation, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, so, I mean, hats off to this offensive line, obviously, the common thread between those two. But you talk about the urgency, and one thing, a quote from DQ, he said, "I love that our lead sled dogs were leading the way." Mm. And he talked about how B-Rob, you know, Jaden, and obviously Terry gets going. And we spent a lot of time talking about the Terry on the left type of deal, and I think that it's important to say, like, sometimes criticism comes from a place of true substance. And then when people respond to it, like Cliff comes out and they move Terry around a lot more, I don't think that's necessarily Cliff responding to the criticism. Like, oh, I'll show them. It's because the criticism was actually, like, valid. Mm-hmm. That there was some, well, I think some of it gets overstated. Like, there is benefit to moving a guy around. They used him not just in, hey, let's put him on the right, but they used him in some more alignments on the left, like some more bunches and some different spots in the bunches and things like that. So what did you see from the sideline of how they were able to get Terry involved and then the impact that had on everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's great. You know, Terry catches the first pass of the game on the right side. They run the slant to him. I think it's the next play or the next series. I don't remember. They're all kind of blurring together. But, like, that type of stuff's awesome. And I think the most important takeaway I have, if you're a high school coach, you just want some, like, fundamental football knowledge, you get you know, almost 40 carries in the run game. You get Terry more touches. You get OZ touches. You get these kind of secondary pieces, touches in the offense, because you are consistent at getting first downs. And what is the difference between last week and this week? It's literally first down efficiency. Like, when you look at this game compared to the last couple of games, they were way, way more efficient on first down. Got them into third manageable situations. And again, Tennessee wasn't able to kind of bring these exotic pressures that we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, because you're not in third and seven plus. And that's kind of the most coaches' delineation of when to start bringing that stuff. So to me, again, moving Terry around, awesome. But you got to see more of the offense and feel more of the offense and feel the urgency, because they were great on first down. And like that's really and is like the cornerstone of this. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Well, and I think the next level of that is like, well, how do they be better on first down? Yeah. Right. Because it's really easy to be like, hey, they need to be better on first down. Thanks, coach. Nailed it. Well, but the fact that they were willing to throw a little bit more, those throws were successful. Yeah. Their runs were way more successful today. The extra hidden yard. I mean, we talked about that a little bit. We probably should have emphasized that more. It's just so unsexy of a point. But like, the difference between a 2 yard gain and a 4 yard gain is the back falling forward.
Yeah.
And Brian Robinson at 6 feet fell tall. Forward. That's 2 yards. He falls forward. And they're all of a sudden in second and six a lot more, second and four a lot more today. And so that first down efficiency came in every single way that they tried. But the plan was really good, which is why it worked in the first place.
I think that's 100% right. And obviously, B-Rob, like, I mean, I think when you look at when he's out, like just how the rushing efficiency decreases, and it's for the exact same reason you're talking about. It's not just because he's a big guy. He's got great vision. He's got great contact balance. Yeah. He runs and finishes, runs hard. It's the same thing you see with kind of Chris Rodriguez. And so it's nice to have two people. And even Jeremy McNichols, he deserves credit because they run that way. And when you get three guys who are running that way behind an offensive line, and I will say this too, I thought there was a really nice, because we've all been talking about like, what's the wrinkle in the last quarter of the season?
Yeah.
They ran a little wham today, you know, like where Bates is kind of coming back and cracking the three technique, and they were able to get some really nice creases, which is different than the stuff they normally run, which is kind of their, you know, their Wanda with the sift or their GT coming back or their bounce stuff. So they had like three or four explosive runs today off of a run that they didn't, that is relatively new for what they want to do. And I think it fit really well with obviously the stuff that Tennessee was presenting, but quite frankly, like that's the type of stuff we're talking about. Just a slight tweak, a slight little add, a slight little wrinkle, and you're able to get explosive plays, and it helps with that efficiency we're talking about.
And then they also had another little wrinkle where they used some of that short motion. They kind of went to it in the third quarter. It was like they had a package, right? And it was like, what can we save? And Cliff has actually talked about this in some of his press conferences. Like, I got to make sure I have enough calls left for the second half sometimes. And man, the way he was emptying the clip in the first half, I know how many plays they ran. It was like, I hope they have something left for the second. It might not matter because they're up by so much, but almost like, do you just pocket all that stuff for after the bye? But they had this like little short motion, and they, that switches the strength of the formation. Then they run back across. They ran a counter off of it. They ran some play action off of it. And so the ability to stack plays, I think, was something that Cliff did a really good job of today as well. And some of those came in some of those times where they're moving Terry around a lot too. So it's clear like they went back into the bag and was like, how do we tweak these things? And I'm sure if you did some kind of deep dive film study, you could probably find similar stuff earlier in the year. But you start to move the pieces around a little bit, and it changes dramatically for a defense.
I was about to say, even on the Zach Ertz touchdown, like one of their most common runs down there is basically zone read, you know, which is like Wanda, and then you run back to the two side end side. And so those two tight ends are not blocking the defensive end. They're arcing for the safety, and they're arcing for the corner, and you're reading the D end. And they have the same action. Great job. And Zach Ertz acts like he's blocking the safety, which they do in the red zone a ton. And he just runs a little post and boom. Like we talk about just taking a play that you run a lot and saying like, what's the wrinkle off of it? And here you are with a great touchdown in the red zone. And I think that's awesome. You know, they had another touchdown or another explosive play today off Zach off of similar, you know, action to the one that Bates had last week, where we're faking the pitch, working the seam. And instead of a kind of a bender across, he kind of is working more of a seam or like out and up. And again, those are just two, again, that's all it takes sometimes, because the defenses in the NFL are so tuned in to like, this is the look, like this is the formation, like this is the plays they run. And so if you can tweak it a little bit, which Cliff did a great job of today. And so, you know, so did, you know, obviously the run game coordinator, the O-line coach. Yeah. Like they did a great job of kind of, again, just finding something that's a little bit different, makes the fit a little bit harder. And I will say this too, like seeing the spacing from the sideline in terms of their defensive front, like they were going to run the ball well today. Like they were able to capitalize on like the guard bubbles, all that kind of stuff. So it was awesome. Great job by Cliff. Great job in terms of finding a new wrinkle by Anthony Lynn. I thought that was awesome. And those are the things that this team needs to do to compensate for maybe not being the most talented group in the whole world.
No, but also the offensive lines are so much credit for the execution. Like, and we'll have a better sense of just how well they were set up for success based off design. But the yards before contact today, like the last couple of weeks watching the defense, there'd be times I'm like, I feel like they fit that run pretty good. Like that was because, oh, the line of scrimmage moved 4 yards.
Yeah.
That's not actually that good. And there was a couple of those today where I'm like, oh, all right, Rodriguez, that must have been about a gain of, oh, that wasn't two, that was four, that was six. And obviously you're going to get 40 yards after before contact because there's no contact on the B-Rob touchdown. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice start to that statistic for the day. But they really do a nice job all day long offensively. And then special teams shows up, joins the party. Tyler Owens gets the big hit. So you got the turnover there. And then defensively today, you know, pitcher shutout almost to the end of the half. I think in some ways this is that sneaky coach's dream game. Where you're like, you win comfortably, but there's plenty of stuff to talk about. If you're Joe Witt, you can clean up that 2 minute drive before the end of the half. There's a couple other situations in the game. They give up a 3rd and 21 on another, a touchdown drive that Tennessee has. But overall, when you stack it all together, what did you make of the defense today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense has been playing kind of like how the defense has been playing the last couple of weeks, which is good. But there's a couple of moments where you're like, wish we would have had that one back. I think, you know, the 3rd and 21 or whatever that is exactly right. You know, the go ball to 83 down here in the corner was also one that you're like, probably could have played that a little bit better, or emphasized something different, or maybe made a different call. But I think on the down-to-down stuff, like the ball's life, like they got the ball out a couple times, which is great. They're playing physical. They're tackling physical. They're fitting runs. And again, like this is where the defense and the complementary football element is so important. Like if Tennessee had been able to just sit on first down and run the football consistently, like this might have been a long day. The way, especially early on, they were able to move the line of scrimmage, but the offense supported them. They got 14 points. It's 14-0. Offensive coordinators feel that. They freak out. And again, this is exactly the game that this defense wants to play, in my opinion. We're going to rush the passer. We're going to win on first down. We're going to play coverage, and we're going to force you to be perfect down the length of the field. And because of all the penalties called today, like obviously Tennessee showed that they weren't able to do it. And to me, this is exactly the formula. Now, are there things to clean up? 100,000,000%. But I think this is generally the structure. And again, if you can get a performance like this from the offense versus the Philadelphias or versus the Pittsburghs or versus some of these top end teams, which I think they can, then this is a winning formula from the defense and for this team.
Right. And it just, you see the margin of error so much wider, right? Like, okay, you give up one, you give up two, you give up three, even, and it just doesn't matter because you're up by so much. There's literally no stress in the game. Mm-hmm. You go, you know, first defensive drive, very, very good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. You go down, score. I think next drive's turnover, go down, score again, and it's 14-0. And at that point, Tennessee's got to start thinking about adapting their game plan. Yeah. And they fumble again. And so like they literally just never have a shot to run any kind of real, you know, kind of what we think of as first and second quarter offense in an NFL football game. And that's absolutely how this defense wants to play with their blitz packages, with all that kind of stuff. And that's only going to get better after the bye, because now you actually have that shutdown man corner in Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore doesn't play today. He was a limited participant in practice Thursday and Friday. He was listed as doubtful for the game. So he should be back after the bye, which then adds, talk about a team, you know, feeling like they have a little confidence, feel like they're winding their sails in the right direction. That's got to be a huge boost for them emotionally coming out of the bye.
Yeah, I would think so. And again, like hopefully he's healthy, and hopefully like they're kind of like everyone's getting healthy. Like the O-line looked much healthier today. B-Rob obviously looked great today. And again, adding a guy like that to the defense is going to be huge. So yeah, obviously like he's a premier player at a premier position, and that's going to add premier value to this team. So hopefully he is healthy and he's back. And again, what is it, 4 games left? Like for that 4-game stretch.
Starting, by the way, for him with his matchup against his old team.
Which is perfect, right? So just a great opportunity, I think, for him to kind of show his impact for this team and for this defense. And again, like with a premier corner, like I just think about where this defense can go, because I think you see what Max Sandra still can do. I think you saw some positives from St. Juice, knowing about Agony. Like that group is doing a good job. But they can be doing a great job when they get a great player. And I think that's the thing that's so exciting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Anything else from the game that stands out to you? Oh, I know one more thing I did want to ask you about, because this was talked about quite a bit in the post game. Bobby Wagner addressed the team earlier this week, and he talked about, and Bobby had this. Well, first of all, I should say, Unrelated to this, Bobby also talked about getting to 100 tackles again today in the postgame locker room in a way that was tremendously powerful about your guy Fletch. Because, you know, obviously we're kind of, I shouldn't say obviously, because you know that locker room. Most people watching, listening don't know the locker room. But we're over on the defensive side, kind of in that corner where Wagner is. And Fletch and Bram do their radio interviews on the other side of the locker room. So Bobby's kind of like looking as he's talking about it, answering the question. And he's looking over and he's just like, it means so much more to get that number this year, get that 100, which he's now had for 13 straight seasons, because I'm here and because of that guy over there. And he talked glowingly about Fletch and how early on in his career, he kind of cold called Fletch. And London was like, yeah, I got you, young fellow. They talk a lot. They still talk a lot now. And he's like, we got to get that guy in the Hall of Fame because he deserves it. So I'm into that from Bobby Wagner. That's very, very cool. I'll try to definitely play that audio tomorrow on the radio show. But earlier in the week, Bobby did talk to the team and said early in his career in Seattle, there was a season where things started to get a little bit off the rails. And he kind of did a similar thing. And he was just like, hey, guys, we got to get back to being us. We got to get back to having fun. Like, this should be fun.
Right.
We like each other. Like, let's do this thing. And I don't know if you've ever been in a team where there's been kind of a meeting like that or a thought like that. But what does that emotional shift do? And kind of what kind of high wire act is that? Because you haven't ended the losing streak before the game. And so if you're like all mad about the losses, you want to be like, hey guys, actually we're happy now.
Right.
Cause that can backfire in a major way. So what do you make of kind of how they were able to walk that tightrope this week? And what's it like to be in a locker room as you're doing that?
I mean, I think it's cool. It's really cool. And what I mean by that is like to see them come out today, like one of the things that you felt from Pittsburgh to Philly to Dallas is you felt a level of stress. Right. Yeah. And a level of consternation just watching the film, watching the game. They weren't loose, especially on the offensive side of the football. And I think when you get a guy like Bobby with his level of experience and that and his level of observation, you know, he's been around a bunch of different types of teams to kind of call that out. It means more. And I think especially like when I like to think that the relationship between him and Jaden, which is so special and so unique, that kind of gets Jaden to relax a little bit. And I thought Jaden looked like a version of himself that we're used to seeing today. And I think I'm not saying that all starts with Bobby, but it definitely kind of plants the seed for the whole team. Cause again, he's a special player, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player. And, you know, I've been around the team a little bit and to see his, like how he interacts with not just the top guys, but everybody is very unique to him. And like, I've been a part of teams where, you know, Matt Ryan's the guy and it's, you know, he's got the kind of the general type of leadership, but Bobby leads in a different way. And for a guy like that to step up in front of the team and kind of say what he said, and obviously I'm not saying it's a one-to-one, but to kind of, again, like light the spark, right, that leads to this result is, I think, I don't think an accident is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I asked Bobby about that in the post-game locker room, and I mentioned in the lead-up to my questions, and we saw on the TV, like on the broadcast, a couple of times where Jaden was smiling, and Bobby's face lit up. And he's like, oh, like, yeah, no, that we could, that was definitely different. And
I mean,
it's easier.
It wasn't just Jaden. Like, on the sideline, there definitely was an energy that there hasn't been here the past couple of weeks. Like, you know, I'm on the sideline for every game. You're standing there, and to see Terry, like, cheering on the crowd and guys running on the field after picks and going over and celebrating. And, you know, it was immediate. It wasn't like, oh, they were up a little bit and then it started going. It was like the first completion guys are excited. The first touchdown guys are giving each other daps. And, like, it was everybody, the guys that are, you know, the practice squad guys are juiced. Everybody's juiced. And I think that it was markedly different than it's been the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. We saw on the telecast Jaden kind of laughing. We had that kind of fake screen wheel situation where Noah Brown gets up the sideline. He's wide open. Yeah, Jaden puts it on the back shoulder. It's a gain of 11, but he leads him a little bit. Better throw. It's probably a touchdown. Yeah. And Jaden's just laughing. He's like, my bad. And it's easier to do that when you're up.
Yeah.
But there is also that feeling of like, oh, this is the kid who's having fun that we saw earlier this year. And like, it's all going to be all right. We're going to score anyway. Like it's a smile and a laugh that comes with some confidence.
Yeah.
And I think you saw that obviously in this game. Anything else from the sideline that you wanted to mention?
No, again, just the energy and the communication like was so unique. I mean, not unique, but it just was like a hearkening back to earlier in the year. And that was really cool. And it kind of, and again, like one of the things about this game that I thought was going to be potentially worrisome is like, can this team become what they were before? And that's obviously scoring a lot of points offensively, that's being super efficient, but also the emotional confidence that they'd shown. I was always kind of like, ah, can they get back to it? Because if they can't, then that's going to be more worrisome long term. And so I think that was the most refreshing thing. It just felt like the Commanders team from when they won eight games or when early in the season when they were on that kind of wonderful kind of run of play. So that to me was the biggest thing to take away, honestly, was, again, it was super efficient. The defense played well, but it felt like a Commanders team that we've come to know and love.
For sure. And that means we get to know and love them without a game for an extra week. We get to be happy going into the bye. Jaden was talking in the post game about that. And he's like, yeah, man, going four straight into the bye. That would have been terrible. Losing sucks. So definitely. I think everybody who's watching, certainly someone who has to do 3 hours of radio every day. Someone who gets to do 3 hours of radio a day. Someone who talks about the team, the podcast that we do. Much, much better with the result today. So here's what we would love if you could help us out and take your happy feelings and put them into a survey. We really value your feedback. And we actually have a survey about this show, about Take Command, that you can find at HoffmanShow.com/survey. We made it easy. That was the easiest way to get a link that was easy to say. Here was HoffmanShow.com/survey. At the end of that survey, we have a brand new shirt that you can get from Breaking Tea, Take Command nice. Shirt, and you get a huge discount on the shirt if you fill out the survey. So HoffmanShow.com/survey, and the show is over because I can't talk anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's that. Thanks for watching and listening to Take Command.